the Right Brain Podcast, where we help you become a working writer by answering your questions, sharing your journeys, and helping you navigate the world of writing. Hey guys, I'm Shanta Grimes, and I'm here with Meg Stewart and Junita Key, and we are going to talk about character wants and character needs and the lie your character tells themselves. And Junita is going to lead this discussion because she's like our developmental editor guru around here. So yay, take it away, Junita. Tell us about that lie the character tells themselves.
Well, the character lie that the character believes is something that you believe to be true that isn't, is false, and you base your entire existence around this belief that you believe. For instance, maybe I believe that I don't write very well and that I'll never be able to publish a novel, for instance. But the truth is, I've written a great novel, and if I'd only publish it, it would probably do well. That might be the lie that I believe. Or it can go even deeper than that, in that a character who is adopted believes that they're not, that their parents didn't want them, so therefore fundamentally they're unlovable. And so they don't believe they're lovable. So they spend their entire lives seeking that love or looking for that love through other sources. For instance, maybe the character believes that they're unlovable, but if they can find true love, some their soulmate or their true love, and they love them, then that will mean that they are lovable. So they could go through, maybe they'll get an online dating app maybe and date every guy they can go out with, and they're going to go through all these dates that are always failure or short-term relationships that just aren't right for them. Or maybe the character is very outgoing and social, so what they do is they go to bars and pick up guys and go home with a guy, a different guy, every night. You know, that's one way they could do it. Or maybe they're constantly picking the wrong people to build solid friendships was with and put their trust in. So that's the character believing this lie and acting out trying to fix it, when in reality they are lovable, they are likable, and if they would just be themselves and quit trying so hard or looking, not be so caught up that they're looking in all the wrong places and for the wrong things.
Yeah, that's not a cliche for nothing, right? Looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah, that's not a cliche for nothing. So yeah. Yeah, and that would also tie into external and internal needs, because the external need is a need for love. The external need is a fact that they're seeking out a companionship, that true love, that or that true friendship even, or that true family that will be theirs. So, and that, and so it could all tie in together. And when you get your internal need and your external need, and you, and they cross, make an X, they're both external and the internal match in some way, it adds motivation to building your story. So, and knowing your character and the lie that they believe, that can really help you.
All right, so this is something that I'm struggling with, because I have a short story that I want to publish, and I went to your class on Tuesday, and just about everybody who was there said my story had no conflict. So I need to figure out what my external and internal needs are for my character, and then I'll be able to find my conflict. Is that how that works?
You could. What is it? Your main characters are your lost clothing, right?
Right. The Jean and PJ.
So what does PJ want most in the world? What, you know, what does she think she wants?
Shanta's laughing at me, you guys. Oh my gosh, I can't even.
You're still, I'm not laughing at you. I'm
all right, now I have an internal need for Shanta not to laugh at me.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing because your story is so freaking funny. And it's gonna, like, we need to get it out in the world, needs laughter today.
I don't know if I believe you, Shanta.
I totally.
I think I'm having a crisis now, because I
pain myself from talking about your.
Well, it can weren't, Meg. Your characters are already in that world and the part you're needing conflict for.
Larry the Loafer's lie that he's telling himself that he doesn't deserve the love of a good thigh hack.
Well, I mean, that's, you know.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Erotica comes to the world of fantasy.
I'm just talking about the first story, Shanta. You're jumping ahead to the third one. I'm talking about the first one.
So PJ wants freedom, right?
PJ wants freedom. Yeah. Like, she's tired of being washed and dried and
Gene getting tells ketchup himself,
dribbles on herself and okay. coffee spilled
PJ's
on his
lie that he, or not PJ, but not Levi either. Gene's lie that she tells herself is that she can't get away. That her owner needs her too much or whatever.
Right,
and that she
right.
can't
that's
leave.
What starts out.
And that's what drives the conflict in the beginning.
Is that right. She can't go. So she now can't they're, go because.
And now they're in the freedom world. Mm-hmm. And they're going to their apartments and all that. And that's where you're wrought in the conflict, right?
Where I think I need more conflict.
So now that they're there. And we had let Gene's motivation kind of drove the beginning of the story. So now they're there and they got what they think they want, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think it is PJ wants now? What does she think she's getting?
Well, she thinks she's getting freedom.
What do you think she's actually getting? It's not, maybe not, because, you know, we're all free, but we're all bound by society's rules. We're right. all bound by certain beliefs and doctrine and etiquette.
She's free to do whatever she wants as long as she follows the rules of, you know, the town, the Grand Meister. So, I mean, I guess what she's really getting, she's exchanging one set of rules for another, because in the human world, she had, you know, she was clothing and she had to do what the humans did with her or whatever. But now that she's in the world of the lost things, she still has some rules, like she's not allowed to dally or like she can spend time with the items who are just vacationing, like they're just there on a timer so they can't stay long, but she's not allowed to like encourage them to stay or to harbor them in her house. Or so I guess if I was going to create a conflict, it would be something to do with a vacationing item that maybe PJ falls in love with, that, you know, now she has to decide, is she going to stay?
Here's the thing though, PJ desires freedom more than anything. So she falls in love with this vacation. So her need for herself will influence the vacationer. Question is, then does the vacationer actually really want to stay? Or does a vacationer want to go back to the real world and just visit when they have to?
Mm-hmm.
And which would cause a conflict with PJ and the one that they love, whether does she stay or she go back? And if she stays and stays permanently, she can't come back, right?
Well, if she goes back and she gets reclaimed by her human, then she's caught again. You know, she loses her housing in freedom and all that. She has to start all over, basically.
So it seems to me that the conflict would be then in causing her that thing to happen, or at least to put it at risk,
mm-hmm.
would be your conflict mm-hmm. in putting her chance at freedom, her ability to stay where she is, what's she willing to give up, you know?
Right.
If you go there with the falling in love thing.
Yeah.
But you could also do that. Maybe you have a runaway something and they harbor it, kind of like people harbor fugitives or like Nazis in the Nazi time, you know, when they hid the Jews and stuff when they were looking for them and stuff like that to get them out of the whatever. There's something that might go on a road like that and not go down the road where she has to go out, but where she might lose her freedom because she's doing something she shouldn't, like harboring somebody she shouldn't for whatever reason.
Right. Well, I'm thinking it could be Remy, you know, the remote control, because he's gone back, you know, he's gotten his portal powers dampened once already, because he stayed too long past his timer or whatever. So if he would decide that he's going to try to stay again, And he was in the same house as Gene, because Gene has commented on how mopey he was when his portal powers were dampened, and he could only go from room to room in the house instead of going to freedom. And so I'm wondering if the conflict could be that Remy decides that he doesn't want to go back to the human world and he stays in freedom, and he comes to Gene and PJ for help because he knows them, and they have to decide whether they're going to help him and risk their freedom or whether they're going to turn him away.
Oh, that's a much deeper story than what you have, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it seems like it would be.
Yeah.
I have to do some rewrite.
But only one of those characters, your main MC. That's probably.
Well, that's what I have to figure out, who the main character is. And
because it started out as PJ. She's the one that talked Gene into coming in the first place. So PJ, I would say,
would be your main character. She is. Yeah,
PJ's the one that has this deep eternal need to be free.
Yes,
so she would have the strongest.
Yeah, she would have the strongest motivation. Yeah.
Oh, it could be Cord. You know, Cord is the one who left the dryer the week before they did, and kind of inspired them to break free because he was able to do it. So it could be that Cord is the one who comes and asks them to hide him, but he's clothing, so he doesn't have a timer, so that wouldn't necessarily.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
If they come back and they get seen, then all they have to do is escape again, right?
Well, yeah, but it's not that easy to escape.
They have to get worn and then washed.
Right.
So if they get lost under the bed, they're lost forever.
Well, and they can only escape when nobody sees them, because if they get caught mid portal, something horrible happens. I don't know what, but if they get caught, like if they get seen going through the portal by the human, like if they open the door when they're trying to go through the portal or whatever, and they get seen, something horrible happens. I'm not sure exactly what, but I'm thinking maybe they get caught, you know, like the portal closes and they get caught, and then they're ripped or torn or shredded, or
they get decommissioned.
Yeah. Something horrible happens if they get caught mid portal. So
PJ's deep need for freedom could get her in a lot of trouble. So,
and also causes her to get other people in trouble.
Get other people in trouble.
She's free now. There is a rain boot in freedom who came over without its mate. So PJ would definitely be inclined to help.
Maybe that's what she's trying to do. All these people she's helping, and then she's harbored a fugitive as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she has a strong motivation for help others find freedom and wanting them to find the things that they want in life, because that was the most important thing to her, was this freedom. So that can really drive your character the whole time in different scenarios.
You know, what would be funny is if PJ decided to be like the Underground Railroad for clothing that wants to escape to freedom. Like she would be the one that would take.
Oh my God, an Underground Railroad.
Yeah, but you need to finish this one story so you can publish it soon.
Well, yeah. I know, but I have to know where this is going, because if I'm going to do a
I just think this could be so much more than 2,500 words. I feel like this could be 10,000 words easy.
I started to do this as a novel way back. I don't know if you even remember when I came on.
I do remember.
That I wanted to have the little girl go through the so if I remember.
And see, and by finding your character's motivations and stuff like that, that's what drives your story. And as you found that motivation just now, and the lie, what is the lie that she believes? That's her internal need and her desire and her motivation. Now, what lie does PJ believe? What's the lie that she believes that causes her to do all these things?
I think the lie is that she thinks being in freedom makes her free.
There you go.
Right.
And therefore she thinks because it makes you free, then everybody else has to be there as well in order to be free.
Or she thinks that being free will make her life perfect.
Yeah. But she also, if she believes that, though, she believes that's the truth for everybody, not just her.
Right.
Which also adds to her motivation, as you were saying, the instigator for everything, helping the boot find its mate, helping socks find their mates, helping somebody stay a vacation or stay there was not supposed to be staying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll have to come up with all these scenarios that she can do, that she can get herself involved with, that are going to cause her to actually lead the freedom that she loves so much, and that she has to learn that even freedom has its limits and its boundaries.
Right.
And that
so PJ freedom, then needs to be character in each of the stories.
Yeah, if you're gonna make them separate stories, if you're talking about the one story, no.
Yeah,
it just depends.
Well, my intention, see, this really helps doing this internal external thing. It's really surprising, because it really helps to kind of
it brings out conflict. It brings out what your character doesn't want, what you can give that character that they don't want, what you can situations you can put the character in that they're not going to like, that they feel is in violation of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you add in the lie that they believe that they're trying to fix with this internal need, then it all comes together with what can they. A lot of things came up that you could do with that character, not just one thing, but several things.
Right. Well, and I'm thinking there's a whole bunch of things, like, you know, she could find out that she's free, but she has to have, you know, this job that she doesn't like or whatever.
Yeah, because paradise is not perfect.
Right.
And true freedom has boundaries as well. There's no, I don't know if there is such a thing as absolute freedom.
Yeah.
Which is the way we kind of interpret freedom in a way, but there's not absolute freedom that you can just do any old thing you want, anytime you want, when you want.
Right.
No matter what.
Maybe her acting in a way that maybe if she believes she can do anything she wants whenever she wants, maybe that's actually the thing that gets her into trouble, because she does something that impacts someone else. Okay.
What a great little coaching session.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's great. It's awesome.
Well, this is awesome.
This is why Junita is our developmental guru.
She just asked the right question.
Yep.
And there you go.
Yep.
Next thing you know, you're rewriting your whole stupid book.
Well, there's 10, you know, you've got 10 universal lessons that the Save the Cat actually talks about. And all of these can be internal needs. For instance, forgiveness of self or somebody else or others.
Mm.
Love, including self-love, family love, romantic love. Acceptance of self, circumstances, or reality. Faith in oneself, in others, in the world, or in God.
Mm.
Fear, overcoming it, conquering it, finding courage. Trust in oneself, in others, in the unknown. Survival, including the will to live. Selfishness, including sacrifice, altruism.
Mm-hmm.
Heroism, and overcoming greed. Responsibility, including duty, standing up for a cause, accepting one's destiny, and redemption, including atonement, accepting blame, remorse, and salvation.
Wait, what was the one after overcoming grief?
I don't think I said grief.
Oh,
I had responsibility, including duty, standing up for one's cause, accepting one's destiny, and redemption, including atonement, accepting blame, remorse, and salvation.
Okay, responsibility. So no grief. Responsibility and then remorse?
Redemption.
Redemption.
Which includes atonement or accepting blame, remorse, or salvation. Okay. All these are in Save the Cat Writes a Novel. And they're called the 10 Universal Lessons.
Great.
That everybody in the world has in common. Anybody can understand these lessons because we all experience it. Right. Therefore, these 10 things, that's also where your deep need, your internal, external come from and all that too.
A bunch of us have number 7 going on right now.
Yeah. What was number 7 again?
Survival.
Oh, survival is what I think you should be writing.
Don't go there, the Shanta Grimes. Don't go there, Shanta Grimes. You'll laugh, but I got an email from Ann Chisholm, and guess what she said?
What?
She said, I just sent you this because I know that you have a prepper novel that you're going to write, and I'm hoping you're going to write it soon. So did you put her up to that, Shanta Grimes? Or did she?
I did not. A wise woman.
What's so bad about that is Meg has that second novel already plotted out.
I do.
Right? And
possibly a third. There? Because I helped her do it.
You did.
Waiting. Except that these stories about Jean and PJ and Larry and what did you say? Leon and Loafer?
Those stories are so freaking funny.
I can't even think about them without busting out
the
laughing.
Thigh heist name is Lacey.
Oh, those are stories that will bring joy to people.
And she has she has narcolepsy.
Oh my god.
I'm not a humor writer, you guys, so
baloney.
Like an experiment.
You're so funny. And these stories are so funny. They're so funny. Oh my god. I'm excited for them.
Anyways, it's a series, Where the Lost Things Go. Watch for it.
Did that help with your conflict, Meg?
I think that helps very, very much with my
conflict. Let's talk about the difference between want and need, like an internal versus external.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
a want is something I want this job. I want to make more money. I want
something outside yourself.
Yes.
It's usually internal outside need, yourself.
Yeah. And the internal need is about love, forgiveness, and the universal things that I was just saying here. It's about all of those things. Forgiveness, love, acceptance, faith, fear, trust, survival, selfishness, responsibility, and redemption.
So those are the 10 universal needs.
Yeah. We all have those needs. All of us. Right.
So do they have 10 universal wants or no?
Oh, I hadn't got that.
No, but I think there's a connection between them. Like if your want is, I want this job, your need is what you really need that you think the job will fulfill, right? That what you think you want is often in line with what you need, but different.
I'm surprised that stability isn't one of them. Because usually
you're getting back down to survival needs. So that's your basic survival.
Oh yeah, okay. So that's gonna
be that what's that Maslow's hierarchy of needs?
Yeah.
You can go
to
that pyramids thing and get those basic needs for survival.
So that's gonna be physical, it's gonna be financial.
Actually, let me pull that up, Maslow's thing.
Physical, financial, mental. Probably emotional.
Yeah, the basic needs on the lower end of that is physiological needs. Food, water, warmth, and rest.
Right.
And then between the basic needs and psychological is the safety needs. Security and safety is next. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you have belongingness and love needs. And that's intimate relationships and friends. And that comes into the psychological part of it but you have to have those other two before you even get to the psychological needs. And then building on that psychological need is esteem needs, and that's prestige and feelings of accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
And then the top level of the pyramid is self-fulfillment needs. So self-actualization, achieving one's full potential, including creativity and creative activities. So that's the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And it starts with basic, then physiological, and then self-fulfillment.
Right, right. Yeah, because it's pretty hard to, you know, find your inner peace when you're trying to figure out where your next meal is coming from.
Yeah. Oh, I know that one by heart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Well, like, it's hard to be creative when you're like scrambling to pay your rent every month or whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when I hit my lowest point, just even reading, I've read all my entire life from the time before I started school, I learned to read. And it's been my friend, my companion, the thing that keeps me happy, the thing that made me love life. I learned lots of things from reading, and it took me to a place that was all my own that I didn't need other people for.
Right.
And when I got to the point that I survival was questionable in a way, I lost my ability to read, and I still have not regained it the way I want to. I'm making myself read now. I'm not reading from pure pleasure the way I used to. I want that back so bad. I miss it. I'm jealous of Shanta always reading.
Well, I finished my MFA. I was in an MFA program for 2 years. And then before that, I was in my bachelor's program, and I had so much required reading that when I graduated in August, 2018, I like literally could not read. I just like this year, like maybe in the last 6 months, finally started reading again. And I'm still like, the only thing I can read are these right now are these real like pleasure reading, like romances. Yeah, and stuff.
I'm jealous of that, because I have a hard time even with that.
Yeah. But I did for a long time after my MFA program. I just was so burned out. I had to read like 200 books a year for my program.
Wow.
It was nuts. Yeah.
The have to reading versus the pleasure reading. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the basic, I mean, the lesson here is that it's not just the characters who have these internal and external needs and wants.
We do too.
We have them too. So.
Well, we're characters in our own stories, you guys.
Yeah. You know what I used to say growing up is that if I could be anybody in the world, I'd want to be a character in the book and live all the many lives. Mm-hmm. I used to always say that from the time I was a kid. I've said that.
So let's talk about some of our favorite characters and what their wants and needs are. Like, I don't know, what are some, let's talk about like
Dorothy.
Dorothy. Okay. So what does Dorothy want? It's easy. Mm. She wants to go home.
Yeah, she wants to go home. But before that,
well, what does she need?
She wants to belong, right? She wants to.
No, she just wants to go.
Well, before she goes into our, find a place where you won't get in any trouble.
Ordinary world. She wants to belong.
Well, before she gets taken to Oz, what does she want? Adventure and like something more than her little life, right?
Yeah.
Somewhere over the rainbow. Yeah. And then when she gets to Oz, she just wants to go home. She wants to get to the wizard so she can ask to get home. Mm-hmm. And then what does she need? Mm. She needs to learn.
She needs to believe.
She needs to believe in herself, right?
Right.
Right. Self-actualization.
The whole like gist of the story is she could have gone home any time just by clicking her heels.
Yeah.
But she had to... like mean old good witch didn't tell her that at the very beginning. So she had to wait until she was ready to hear that message. So she had to learn that she had like this in her to help her friends and to do big things, that is always in her to do these big things.
So it's almost like a confidence thing.
Yeah. Confidence. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Or faith in herself.
Mm-hmm.
Faith in self. That's what it is.
Learns that too by helping others, because mm-hmm. that's how she starts out, and she meets the different ones along the Yellow Brick Road, and it's in helping them.
What does the scarecrow want?
Scarecrow wants, he really needs, they, you know, they all need,
he wants a brain
in a different way, all four of them, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He wants a brain.
He needs confidence that he already has one. And the Tin Man needs confidence that he already has a heart. And the
the lion that already has courage, but he just doesn't know it.
Yeah, they all need confidence. He needs confidence that he can already be brave.
Faith in self.
Faith in self.
So see, that's the hierarchy, the very top level of the pyramid, self-actualization and believing in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So at my, that, you know.
So how about Anne of Green Gables? Have you read Anne of Green Gables?
Oh, that's Janita's favorite.
Yeah, that's my favorite. Yeah.
Me too. I love it. So what does Anne Shirley
want? Wants a family. She wants belonging and acceptance.
She wants like a best friend, right? Like that's important to her. She wants a family.
She wants what I want.
Yeah. And but she also wants this like special, amazing life.
Yeah.
Is it love or acceptance?
She wants acceptance for sure.
It's both, actually.
And love.
Is that a want?
With love comes acceptance. So you could say either one. If they love her, they accept her. If they accept her, they learn to love her. So,
okay. Yeah, but she definitely wants a family. But so, more than just a family, she wants to really, really belong.
She wants to be needed. She wants to be wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the one thing that at the very beginning of the book, you know, that she talks about is that she wants them to want to keep her. She doesn't want to go back. She wants them to want her, and she's so afraid that they're not going to want her anymore or, you know, send her back to the orphanage because she didn't work out, because that's already happened to her a couple times.
Mm-hmm. So, and what does she need? What does she need?
What she needs is love and acceptance. That is what she needs, isn't it?
But so her want and her need are the same thing?
Well, I don't think.
I wonder if what she needs is to believe that she is lovable.
That's probably her. That's probably it right there. She doesn't believe she's lovable. That's why she's being rejected. She expects to be rejected and not wanted. And so, therefore, what she needs is love and acceptance, but she believes that she's going to be rejected. In fact, you actually see that, especially in when they send her to school and all that. You know, sometimes
she hates her red hair and she cuts it all off. And
yeah, it's all kinds of little things. Yeah. Of self.
And she thinks she's ugly. She needs to believe she's lovable. Yeah.
And that she has the qualities that people will love and recognize those qualities in herself, and that she has value and that she deserves to be loved. So that's going to be her main, what she actually needs is to believe that, is to accept that she is, because she believes that she's not, because her parents didn't want her, and these foster families don't want her, and they can't find her a family, and she expects to be rejected.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, Meg, what's your favorite book from when you were a kid?
Oh my gosh. Well, Wizard of Oz was one, but also, probably, I'd have to say Nancy Drew.
Ooh, what does Nancy want?
Yeah.
Gosh, I haven't read a Nancy Drew book in a million years.
I know, me either, but I think Nancy, what she wants.
Nancy likes to be the one that solves the mysteries, the one in the know all the time.
Maybe she wants to be taken seriously.
Yeah, I think hers is like a responsibility need or a redemption need, maybe.
Right, because what she does is get herself in trouble because she's sticking her nose where it don't belong, even though she's solving the mysteries.
Right.
She wants to be helpful.
Yeah.
What does she need?
And I think, if I remember correctly, one of the big things I make out in the book is her overabundance of curiosity is always getting her in trouble.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely around the whole curiosity killed.
Yeah, it was all about the curiosity is what kept getting her in trouble. She was more curious, and she would not stop. She was relentless. She had to fill that need of her curiosity relentlessly, even if it got her in trouble, even if knowing that there's a cost, she did it anyway.
Mm-hmm. So maybe she, you think that her need then was to know the truth?
Possibly. Yeah. That sounds, that's what would drive her. Wouldn't you think? The need to know the truth.
But why did she need to know the truth so badly?
Now, see, it's been so many years since I've read those books. Yeah. I don't remember the family life as well. They say in the movies, but I don't remember
her mom, if that's true. If I remember correctly, and it's been, oh my God, so many years, but her mom died and it was just her and her dad. Right.
So maybe she needs to prove and to her dad.
And her best friend, Georgie. I think it was a redemption thing or a responsibility thing. Like she had to prove to her dad that she could handle herself, that she could contribute.
Yeah. And she always felt responsible for everything.
Yeah.
And I think her dad allowed her to take responsibility maybe when he shouldn't, didn't he, in the books? I can't remember clearly.
Yeah, it's been forever. I don't know.
It's been 30 years since I read those
Which books. Is so sad because I had almost all of them.
I did too.
I've watched the recent movies, my mom. Which I really enjoy. The movies, the I don't know how right they are, how accurate they are.
Me and the Hardy Boys. Other books.
So, Junita, what's your main character, McKenna? What does she want?
Well, I know that she wants to find family because I mean she lost hers at a young age so abruptly. Mm-hmm. It was very traumatizing in the way that it went down and the connections to it. So I know that she wants family, but she actually gets that in a sense from Reggie, but she doesn't recognize it as that because she, at that young age, after losing her family, she's so angry and she blames the world and the watchers and all that's happened to her family, that she doesn't really accept Reggie's love in the way that she means it. And she, and Reggie's daughter was her best friend who died earlier before her parents did. So Reggie feels this big connection to her because it's a connection to her daughter for one, and because she reminds her of her daughter a lot because they were best friends and stuff. And so Reggie has a sense of protection about her, and this is all off the page. Of course, you don't see or know all of this. Mm-hmm. And so when this, in this world, you have to do 2 years of military time when you turn 18. So when she turned 18, she left Saratoga, the mechanical world, and went do her military time, but she never returns. She chooses when she leaves the military, instead of staying in the military, she decides to leave. She joins the civilian Galactic Patrol division and remains away from Saratoga. Even though she has contact with Reggie a little bit, she doesn't actually haven't seen her in all this time. And then she gets this mission to go back to Saratoga to locate the ghost pirate, because there's rumors that he has connections on that planet, and because that's her home world, and the general who was over her in the military remembers McKenna and knows what she's doing now, asked to have her be part of this mission because his agents and stuff have not been having any luck and have been failing at getting what they need. So they send her to Saratoga, which means she's going to come face to face with Reggie, but she's convinced herself that this isn't home. This isn't.
So what she thinks she wants is independence.
Yes.
But what she needs is family.
There you go. Thank you. So you're welcome. It's hard for me to see it for myself when I'm doing.
Yeah, it is all. It's super hard. But I think that's it. She wants independence, and she needs family. And I don't think that this is a good segue, because I don't think that needs and wants are always totally opposite, or like sometimes to get what you want, you have to first face what you need, right?
Right.
So if she can accept family, then she can have independence. It doesn't make her miserable.
Right. And it changes the life that she's chosen too, because
but she can align then what she needs with what she wants, or what she wants with what she needs.
Exactly.
Oh, very good. Yes.
So, and see, oh, that's off my page. None of that. I mean, there'll be hints and stuff, right. I guess, throughout as I write, but all that's off the page, all the stuff that I know. Although I am connecting her parents' death, original death, to what's going to be going on in the current novel. And she's going to learn about that, which is going to cause a big old upheaval and chaos in her. And she learns it and starts her down that path again of that activate that teenage feeling that she had back then, the anger, the upset, the blame, and the self-guilt.
Right. And she's wanting independence and she's trying to run away from the family she has.
Yeah, but she's stuck in that moment of that death and those emotions in. And I actually, see, I'm stuck in the death of my mother. I was just 16, big time 17. I'm stuck there in some ways emotionally. Mm-hmm. I'm continually, and I recognize that in myself. Have I found my way? Right. No, not in the real life, but maybe my character can.
Yeah.
Which is maybe part of the reason I started writing the story. Maybe subconsciously.
Maybe getting your character to will help you to write that story, which will help you to
process mine. Yeah.
Yep.
So maybe it's therapeutic after all.
Yeah.
I just didn't know it.
It turned into a therapy session.
Yeah.
I know.
It's so funny.
I love it. Yay. So now we worked out PJ and Jean, the rogue Jean.
What about yours?
Oh, mine.
Your character
was. Well, okay, so I'm writing a secret romance, like reverse harem. I'm very excited about, and I don't know what my character wants. She wants. What do you think she wants? You've read some of it. She wants.
Well, she doesn't want to belong to somebody. She wants freedom. Tied down in marriage.
She wants independence.
Yeah, freedom, not independence, freedom. She wants to choose.
She wants to have choices
that she doesn't have. Mm-hmm. And she needs her hair. I don't know. What does she need? She needs.
So let's think about what is it that she believes that's making her not.
Most of her family died.
Because she has only ever lived in this one little town that's, it like actually not even a town, it's like a community. No, she needs to believe that there's a world wider than the little very very secular, or not very, not secular is not the right word, insular place where she lives, right? Mm-hmm. she believes that there's no world for her outside of this little world that she lives in, and she needs to believe that, or what she needs is to see that the world is wider than her little town, which is not even a town, this is like a far post-apocalyptic world, you know, like well past the hundreds of years past the apocalypse.
Maybe
the remaining people live in just this very insular walled off place,
and she believes it's not possible to live outside that world.
She doesn't know what's out there. She's never left this little it's like a university campus where everybody lives on the campus forever. For her whole life she's never left this university campus.
Yeah, so she needs to learn that there's more out there. Because that will fuel her need for freedom, though.
And she needs to embrace her inner rebel. Like, she needs to lead this, like, in the end, she's going to lead a rebellion. She needs to, like, be a rebel. Be, like, embrace being a rebel.
Maybe. So why doesn't your character embrace it now? What's keeping her from being a rebel?
Because she's a very young girl who does literally... Not only does she not know what's out there, she doesn't know anybody who does know what's out there.
So what's the lie she believes?
I don't know.
That's what you got to figure out, because we know what her need is, but what's the lie she believes?
The story starts with her running away. Trying to run away, and it doesn't work. Like, she plans for 5 years. She plans every detail of running away, and it lasts for like 10 seconds, and she's caught. So maybe the lie, she tells herself for 5 years. So from when she's 15 till when she's 20, she tells herself a lie that she can, that she can be the, like, rebel on her own by herself.
Right. But she's going to find out really early in your story, though, that's not true. So there's another right. lie.
Even, she needs it because she needs her lie harem. Than that. She needs
but, yeah, but that's harem. Not the answer. No, it has to come from within. That's because through her own action, her own decisions. So that's a really good life. But she finds out real fast that, I mean, she's believed it's all her life. Yes. And that's powered her life up to this point. And now she's found out that that's a lie. That what she believed is not true. But there's something deeper that's going to power some lie she's believing that's powering all her actions.
I think it's going to have to be like redemption, right? Because she left her brother in the...
No, she didn't have a brother. What
am I thinking of?
She doesn't have a brother. She's an only child.
Didn't her parents die?
Her mom
dies, and then she's living in that kitchen. Don't you remember?
No, she lives in a dorm.
Well, a dorm. She lives...
Didn't the guards come in and kill her parents?
No.
Not in that one.
Not in any of them that I've written.
What the heck book am I thinking of? Where she's going to get married to the guy. She's going to get married to the guy and her dad doesn't want her to, but she does it anyways. And then
thinking about Kristen's story.
Well, Kristen,
I'm thinking about totally the wrong story, but I remember yours about her trying to get out of the gate.
Yeah, that was yesterday.
I was mixing the two of them together.
Yeah,
I was
in mine. She thinks like she believes that she can plan her way out of. Maybe that's her.
She believes she doesn't need anybody else.
Maybe that's her lie, that she doesn't need anybody else, that she believes that she doesn't need anybody else.
So, okay, here's what I want to know what happens then. So I know you've got a lot of this written. So she goes out the gate, discovers all this.
She gets caught
for so long that it's not true, that she cannot escape on her own.
Yeah, she can't even escape at all. Right.
So how does that change her belief now? That lie she believes. She's still believing a lie, of course.
Well, but, she still thinks that she can. I think she still
has to trust. She has to trust someone else.
Well, I think she shifts her belief from that she can escape on her own to if she can get this guy who has helped her to. So the world that I've created, there's not very many women, right? There's like one woman for every 30 or 50 men or something. Like there's just not enough women in the world. There was a virus that mostly killed women, and then it hit twice, and there's just not enough women in the world. So there's an imbalance, a deep imbalance between how many men there are in the world and how many women. And so the way this world deals with that is that when you turn 20, you have to get married, and men compete so that like if there's 10 women that are 20 this year in this little town where she lives, then men pay the city for the right to compete. And if they win, if they come in the top 10, they get to pick one of the women, and that's their wife.
Oh my
and,
God. Again, oh my God.
Now you guys are laughing at me. It's a good story.
I know it's laughing at Meg, not at you.
Oh, okay. That's my but that's the premise of the story. And so she does not want to be a wife, and the chief guard dude, like this main big bad guy,
part of it too, also she may believe that if she has that being a wife means she loses her freedom. Also, that could play into
then when she comes around to the harem, she's gonna actually be the wife to five people.
Yeah, four. Don't go crazy.
And that, are you still writing it? Are you done?
No, I'm still writing it. I'm doing a big revision. But
that could cause you some conflict.
She really does. This one guy has been pursuing her since she was a teenager. and he's gross. I mean, he's not gross, physically gross, but she's just like, no, she doesn't want anything to do with him. And so her belief in the beginning is that since she was 15, she has plans that on wife competition day, she is going to escape and leave and just leave. She's going to walk from Pittsburgh to Cleveland. Like, that's her whole plan. And she plans it. She spends 5 years planning it. And she has freedom for 10 seconds and he catches her. And so then, but there's another man who she meets who also wants to compete with her. And he lives on, he's a farmer. So he lives outside the city already. So she just decides she wants him, like, he wants to win her. He only joins the competition on a whim to try to win her. So her belief shifts to, if he can win her, she can still have this freedom.
Maybe she thinks also when she gets out there, she can escape from them as well and be totally free. Because she won't be cooped up in this, cooped up inside this city with all these people watching and guarding her. Yeah. She'll be out in the open with less people watching and paying attention.
Well, her whole plan was to hit, like, hide in a farmer's wagon and
right. But once she's there, and here's what she's got to do, is learn to trust them and want to stay, is what she's got to, and begin to understand that marriage to these five men does not mean she loses her freedom.
She's not marry all five of them.
Well, you know what I'm saying, it's a harem, so I mean, might as well be married to them.
Yeah, that's true. But she will, like, the only way she's gonna be able to leave the city is if she does marry one of them. So right.
And so even though she thinks she's doing the thing that she thinks will take her freedom from her, she thinks because they're going out into the wilderness more in her mind, and there's not all these people around all the time and this constant watch guard around her, she'll have the freedom to escape and find her own life somewhere else.
And then when she actually gets out there, she has to learn to trust.
And she has to want to stay and make a decision to stay or go and make that choice on her own.
So yeah. What does she really needs?
Like,
what
the perfect opportunity for her to escape comes along and she can't decide whether to go or stay.
Or she doesn't.
So do you think it's possible that what she needs is to usher in this rebellion or this change?
I think what her personal need is, it's not about that's a universal need for a society or a community. And yeah, she may need to feel part of that, but this need we're talking about here is personal. So she needs to learn to trust these men and believe that she's not losing her freedom by hitching her wagon to theirs. Mm-hmm. And that by staying enables her bigger goal.
It is, which is to do this rebellion. This chief guard dude has been abusive to her, and she doesn't tell her. So she has shared a room in the orphan dorms with one girl since she was 7 years old, and they're best friends, and she's never told her the truth.
Yeah.
So it's already in there that she's got a trust issue.
And
her trusting these men and accepting them and in her life in that way, then they're going to enable her to lead this rebellion that you're talking about and to cause that to happen in the first place, because that will aid her rebellion.
Yes. You guys, Junita is looking for two more clients, and I'm going to put her email or her website in the show notes, because you should totally hire her, because
she is fantastic. If you are stuck on your story,
call Junita. Junita.
Junita is the plot buster.
The plot. Junita's the plot buster. You should name your website the plot buster.
That's an idea.
It is an idea. Contact Junita the plot buster. Yes,
she will break.
Oh my god, that's exactly right. Like, that's gonna be like the little missing salt to my story.
And it happened because you figured out her internal and external need.
Then
And you took the lie she believed deeper because you solved that so quickly.
Because her lie think that she tells herself is that she can fix her life, or she can fix her life or change her life without trusting anyone.
Do it all herself, that she's independent.
Yeah, that she doesn't have to trust anybody.
Right.
Oh.
Because she didn't have any parents anyway, so she doesn't need to.
Yeah, not since she was like three. Yeah. And she's lived on her own, like in a dorm with another girl since she was seven.
Anybody else.
No adult supervision since she was seven.
She doesn't need anybody else. Do it all herself.
Yes. Thank you, Junita.
You're welcome.
Oh my God. We fixed our stories, you guys, all three of us.
Yep.
Yeah, we did. That's funny.
Now I'm excited to go write.
Well, this is a really good podcast for us, huh?
This is a really productive podcast for the Ninja Writers team.
Yeah. We all found a fix to our stories.
Yes. Woohoo. Yeah, it's hard to see that for your own story. It's super hard to see that for your own story.
It is
hard to see it for your own. And even when you know it, you keep circling around it, because sometimes you just know too much and it buries what the actual heart of it is, because it's there. It's that you're close, but you're just not close enough.
And it's because you know the stuff in your head and you've already made those connections. And so it's hard to figure out how to get them out.
Yeah. And which connections matter the most?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Wow.
What does your character want? What does your character need?
And what is the lie they're telling themselves?
And what is the lie they're telling themselves? Those are the three questions.
Yes. You guys, I just bought a.
If you are in the guild, Janita teaches a short story class. May the shorts be with you.
Okay, guys, everybody have. Thank you for being here. For our podcast, I'm very excited to go right now, and we will talk to you guys later.
All right. Bye,
bye. Everybody. Bye, everybody.
This was the Right Brain Podcast. You can join us every Friday.